Greetings and welcome back to our series of mini-casts on Parashat HaShavua. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and today we're going to look at the third Aliyah in Parashat Shemot, which begins in the middle of the second chapter of Shemot after the birth of Moshe, and concludes at the end of that chapter when Moshe has already grown up, made his way to Midian, and married Zipporah, had a child, and then we hear about the death of the king of Egypt. I would like to take a look at several components that unified some of the stories in this chapter. The chapter, after all, begins with the birth of Moshe and the watchful eye of his sister and of Bat Paro, who ensures that he is brought to safety and eventually raised really by his own mother, and then back in the palace. Moshe's going out to visit his brethren and to see how they're doing, and his attack of the Egyptian, his subsequent fleeing from Egypt when he finds out that this act of rebellion has been discovered by Pharaoh, and then his arrival at Midian and the events that take place there. As is quite well known and well documented, the style of the Tanakh is to utilize particular words in a story several times, to repeat them if they are unusual words, or perhaps with a great frequency and intensity, to sort of signal some of the messages of this story. And indeed, when we read this story, there are two levels on which the story should be understood. On the one hand, we're reading about the birth and seminal events in the youth and later age of Moshe Rabbeinu, which help us understand who he is and sort of the events that shaped his ability, the reason he was chosen, and his emotional attachment to Bnei Yisrael, even though he was not raised with them. But there is a whole other level on which this text works, a much more sublime level, in which Moshe, who is eventually, and we'll see that in the next mini-cast, going to be appointed as the agent of God in order to redeem Bnei Yisrael, acts in ways that are symbolic and foreshadowing of God's interaction with the people and of God's ultimate redemption from the slavery and the oppression of Egypt, something that becomes much more pronounced in the next Aliyah, and the one following that at the famous scene at the bush. However, in this chapter, we see events that take place in the context of Moshe, and there are several key words that play out in this chapter. The first one is that there is a constant seeing. For instance, you take a look at Pasuk Bet. Vatera oto kitovu. She, the mother, saw that he was good. And then in the fourth pasuk, even though we don't have the word vatera, Miriam goes to watch to see what happens to him. In pasuk hey, vatera tativa betoch hasuf, Bat Paro sees the basket in the reeds, she then pasuk vav tiftach vatireu et hayeled, she opens up and sees the boy. A little bit later on, in pasuk yod aleph, it says, Vayar besiv latam, Vayar ish mitzri. Moshe saw their afflictions. He saw an Egyptian man. And then, Vayayifan kovacho, Vayar ki en ish. He saw that there was no one there, and killed the Egyptian. Vayitzebe omashini, etc. And then, Vayom yisimcha la'ish sarva shofet aleinu, the one Hebrew who was fighting with the other says to Moshe, who made you a judge over us? Do you plan to kill us? And we have the word Vayira Moshe. Now, Vayira, of course, not the same word as Vayar, but is often used when Vayar or Ro'eh is a key word, and an example of this is in the story of Akedat Yitzchak in Breshit Chafbet, instead of Vayifchad, Vayira, to give it the alliteration with Vayar. And so Moshe, of course, flees, and Moshe saves them, and we move on from there. So there's a lot of seeing that's going on in this parasha. Concomitantly, there is also striking that takes place. Moshe strikes the Egyptian. First of all, Moshe sees the Egyptian striking the Hebrew. Moshe strikes the Egyptian. He is accused by the other Hebrew the next day of, are you going to attack me. And so striking is a theme, and it culminates, of course, in killing. Moshe strikes and ends up killing the Egyptian. He is threatened with the possibility, he was accused of potentially or threatening to kill the other Hebrew. Paro sees this, and Paro then wants to kill Moshe, and Moshe has to run away. So we have three words that really continue to repeat throughout this parasha, which are seeing, attacking, and killing. And that those themes run throughout the various scenes in the parasha, beginning with the birth of Moshe and his salvation in the reeds, Moshe's interaction with the Hebrew saving him from the Egyptian, Moshe's subsequent interaction with the two Hebrews, Moshe's fleeing from Paro, and ultimately Moshe's arrival in Midian and his interaction there. Indeed, the way that he gets into Yitro's family is because Yitro's daughters are threatened by the shepherds, even though the word vayach is not used there. Moshe stands up and he redeems them, he saves them, and then he becomes part of the family. The interesting piece of all this is that the very next parsha, which seems to be very much of an interjection and somewhat of a non sequitur, takes us back to Egypt. As we followed Moshe leaving Egypt and ending up in Midian, B'nei Israel cried out to God. God heard their plea. Vayar Elohim at Bnei Israel. And what happened? God saw Bnei Israel. And following the line of the parsha, we get a sense that if God saw, then what's going to follow from that? God will hit. God will smite. God will kill. And indeed, that is what God promises after the scene of the snare, when he promises to Moshe and says, they'd go tell Paro, if you do not let them go, hinei anochi horeg et bincha b'chorecha. And indeed, Moshe's several scenes that take up the bulk of chapter 2, in a sense foreshadowing God's interaction with the people, including the God's seeing the affliction of the people, God's interacting in a way of smiting, of haka'ah, as we refer to the Eser Makot, and, of course, ultimately, the final makah, which is, Hinei anochi horeg et bincha b'chorecha, I will smite and kill your firstborn son.